Chapter 9. Marius in Love. Madeleine and Cosette moved into a little house in a quiet neighborhood in Paris. Around the same time, Monsieur Thénardier was released from prison, and his family, now poor and homeless, moved to Paris in the hope of finding work. The two little girls, Éponine and Azelma, had grown up and become young ladies. When the Thénardiers arrived in Paris, they rented a room in the Gorbeau apartment building in a cheap part of town. However, they were unable to find enough work to pay the rent, and after a few weeks, the landlady threatened to evict them.
"I'm sorry, but this is not a charity house," she said. "You pay now or leave."
Just then, a young man called Marius walked by their building. He was the Thénardier's neighbor. He heard the conversation and felt sorry for them. He said to the landlady, "I will pay their rent for them. Sir, you can repay me when you have got the money." Monsieur Thénardier was greatly relieved and said to Marius,
"Thank you, kind sir. Thank you very much. Please, what is the name of my savior?"
"No savior, sir. Just one man helping another," said the young man modestly. "My name is Marius."
"Not just Marius. This young man is Marius Pontmercy, and he is a baron," the landlady told the Thénardiers.
"No, no, I don't believe in these antiquated titles. Just Marius," repeated the young man. But it was too late. The name Baron had made its impression on Monsieur Thénardier. His eyes shone, and his smile widened.
"Nice to meet you, Baron Pontmercy," said Thénardier enthusiastically. "I'm Monsieur Thénardier. This is my wife and my daughters, Éponine and Azelma. We are honoured to meet you."
"Good day, Baron Pontmercy," said the girls, and made a slight curtsy.
Éponine stared at Marius with large, admiring eyes. He was the most charming and elegant young man she had ever seen. Uncomfortable with the Thénardier's open admiration, Marius said goodbye and left.
"You can stop staring at him now, Éponine," said Azelma. "He's a baron. He's much too good for you. You'll never have him."
Marius was indeed a baron. But although born into the wealthy Pontmercy family, he was now living in the poor part of Paris, due to a long disagreement with his grandfather. His father was dead, and his grandfather, who was his benefactor, was a royalist and had raised Marius as one. However, as Marius grew older and learnt more about the history and politics of France, his opinions changed, and he became a revolutionary. This created conflict between grandfather and grandson, and eventually Marius decided to leave his grandfather's house, even though he now had to struggle to make a living. The two had not been in contact for 4 years. Marius took odd jobs here and there, and was barely able to make ends meet. After he gave the rent money to the Thénardier's landlady, he was left with very little money for food. He didn't know what to do. He decided to go for a walk in the Luxembourg Gardens to clear his mind. As he was walking towards the lake, he saw a middle-aged man standing near a tree with a young girl by his side. Although Marius intended to turn right, he found himself turning left in order to walk past them. Marius was a polite young man, so he was determined not to stare at the girl. But as he walked past her, his eyes didn't leave her face. Distracted, Marius suddenly walked into a tree. Embarrassed by this, he quickly recovered his balance and looked at the girl, relieved to discover that she had not noticed him. He looked at her, fascinated by her beauty. Her blonde curls shone in the sun, and her sweet smile captivated his heart. She was lovely, and she moved very gracefully. She started to feed the ducks and laughed as they ran after the bread.
Her laughter was one of the most beautiful sounds Marius had ever heard. Then she raised her eyes and suddenly looked into his. Marius was lost in that instant, as many lovers are, in the magic of that first look. For the next week, Marius came to the Luxembourg Gardens every day and saw the girl. His love grew, and he could think of nothing else. But on the eighth day, she was not there. Nor on the ninth, tenth, eleventh, or any day after that. Marius became desperate. He started to search all over the gardens, and then all over Paris. But there was no sign of her. The next month was terrible for Marius. He could neither sleep nor eat, and could think of nothing but the girl. Then, one day, he saw her again. Every day, Jean Valjean and Cosette provided food and clothes to poor families in Paris. On this day, they were visiting the Gorbeau building, and soon they entered the Thénardier's room. Valjean and Cosette did not recognize the Thénardiers. They had changed from well-dressed inn owners to poor-looking beggars. Cosette was now an elegant young lady, very different from the little girl in rags they had treated so cruelly. She put a basket of bread, cheese, and vegetables on the table. The Thénardiers did not look very enthusiastic. "Is there anything wrong?" asked Valjean.
"No, not at all. We appreciate your kindness for bringing us this food," Monsieur Thénardier replied. "But really, it's money we need. 60 francs, to be exact. If we don't pay our landlady, we will be thrown onto the streets."
"I see," said Valjean. "I haven't got 60 francs now, but I can get it. I will bring it to you tonight." Just as Valjean and Cosette were leaving the Thénardier's room, Marius entered the building and was amazed to see his mystery girl, Cosette, saying goodbye to Éponine. "I need a favour," Marius said to Éponine desperately after Cosette had left. Éponine's eyes lit up with joy at this. She adored Marius and was happy to have his attention.
"Of course, Marius. What do you need?" she asked.
"That girl. Who is she? Can you find out where she lives?" he asked. The light in Éponine's eyes went out as she recognized his interest in the other girl and the complete lack of it for herself.
"Yes, I will help you, but what will I get in return?" she asked.
"Anything you want, Éponine," Marius said. The next day, Éponine gave Marius a piece of paper with Cosette's address.